Hello, Fiona Ritchie with you. Welcome to the Thistle and Shamrock this week with Cathy Ryan.
Go from my window, my love, my dove. Go from my window, my dear. The wind is in the west and the cuckoo's in his nest. You can't have a lodging here. Go from my window, my love, my dove. Go from my window, my dear. The weather, it is warm, 'twill never do you harm. You can't have a lodging.
I want you to give a very warm welcome to Cathy Ryan.
Thank you. Thanks.
Now, many of you will know Cathy. Perhaps you've come to her music in the recent decade or so when she's been pursuing a solo career with many collaborations. She also worked with Cherish the Ladies. But it's a story that starts in Detroit, but reaches back to Tipperary, I understand, Cathy.
And Kerry. I have to get my mother in there. She'll never forgive me.
We've learned so much about the music of Detroit, actually, this week from Shirley Smith Montgomery and Matt Watroba and Ranger Doug, the incredible melting pot and the coming together from many backgrounds. So yours, of course, was the Irish community in Detroit. It strikes me just from meeting you in the past and talking to you that music was just always in the house.
It was a way of life. It was just in us. It was in the house. And also, it was outside of the house. As Matt Watroba was talking to you about yesterday, there were loads of Westerners and Southerners who immigrated north or moved north for the auto industry. So my father's friends and all of our neighbors were, you know, hillbillies, as he called them, because he loved their music. So he brought home Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and Hank Williams, because he worked on the line at General Motors. He also learned how to barbecue, which was really great.
So what sort of an age was he when they emigrated?
They emigrated in 1957. You know, I'm very bad with age things, but they were very young. My mother was pregnant with my sister, and his aunt had come over, my Aunt Han, and she told him, forget New York, you're not a city boy, come to Detroit, and I know, it wasn't as big a city, and we'll see if we can get you a job at General Motors. And it took him over a year, and he finally slept out in the parking lot for 2 weeks, and the security guard came out and said, come in, Timmy. They'll give you an interview. He was, you know, because he knew he had a pregnant wife and he wanted to help him. Anyway, he went in and he did an interview to become a spray painter of cars, and he was colorblind. So the security guard brought him out the color chart. He memorized the numbers.
Oh.
And he got the job. So thank God he was really smart and had a great memory.
And determined to support his family.
Exactly.
So it was a musical community, but not in the ways I was thinking. I was imagining that romanticising this sort of little Irish-American neighbourhood. But there he was on the production line in General Motors, so it was music from all kinds of backgrounds. But what were they singing to you at home?
Irish. The inside the house was incredibly Irish, and outside the house was country music, American roots music, and Motown. Motown was born when I was a kid, and we all had our transistor radios up to our ears. And it was nice because you could share the sound of a transistor radio. I actually feel bad that everyone has things plugged in now. It's very insulated, very insular, whereas we were always sharing music with each other. Mm-hmm. So it was a great range of music for me to grow up with. My girlfriend, my best friend, was from, her parents were Kentucky and West Virginia, so they were great singers. Mm-hmm. They had great mountain songs. And my grandmother was a fiddle player, and my father was a singer. And I found a very common route between the two musics. I mean, they were great stories, and they were beautiful, you know, and they took you somewhere out of your world, mm-hmm. out of your day-to-day life. And I loved that about song.
What would be one of the first songs that you would have learned from your father was a singer, a good singer.
Yes, he was the best tenor I've ever heard, actually. God bless him. He was a great singer. He could have made a living at it if he wanted to. But he sat down with me and taught me The Old Bog Road, not because he ever sang it, but because it was a song of immigration and he wanted me to understand what the Irish were doing in America, mm-hmm. what preceded them coming, the great hunger. And he also wanted me to learn how to explicate the text of a song, you know, to put myself in the shoes of that person who immigrated. And he was very, very specific, you know, and he also said, don't overdramatize it and don't sing it too hard. It's not about you, it's about the song. You know, and we don't want you to oversing, because then everyone is thinking about you oversinging and you don't tell them the story. So I love that he taught me at a really young age to get out of the way and to get out of my ego, that I was just telling a story and to sit there and tell it. But he was also very specific about pause here. That word alone is very important. Take a little pause before that so they'll understand. And the image of a man smoking a pipe alone, he said, that is the main image of the song. So
What age would you have been when all this was?
I was about seven.
Wow.
He's a very intense man, and he would have a few jars after coming home from work, so he'd be in his cups and be telling me all these things. But he was very harsh. I mean, he was a very harsh critic of me. I probably never would have become a singer had I listened to him. You know, he thought it was just such a tragedy that I didn't have five octaves like Cleo Lane. You know? He was really hard. But I mean, I had a lot of friends who had Irish parents, and they were all equally as hard on us.
First generation.
Exactly.
Kind of
be
syndrome.
Better than me, but don't think you're too great. Yeah. You know, that was his message always. It still is.
So do you still remember a verse of The Old Bog Road?
I do, yeah. Are you kidding? My feet are here on Broadway this blessed harvest morn, and oh, the ache that's in them for the spot where I was born. My weary hands are blistered from working cold and heat,
And oh, to swing a scythe today through fields of Irish wheat. Had I the chance to wander back or own a king's abode, I soon would see the hawthorn tree down the old bog road.
Cathy Ryan's here with us at Traditional Song Week and taking a wee journey through her musical life. Although if we really want to do that properly, we would just sit here all afternoon, Cathy, I think, because there's a lot to talk about.
And I'm old. So, yes.
But I'm thinking about the old Bog Road and the Irish coming in and wondering, as I'm listening to you, because you also sing in Irish, whether Irish was spoken at home or was that something you acquired?
My mother sang Irish songs that her father sang to her as a kid, like A Waharina Likatu and Enig May and Patabiog the Wahar and songs like that. So I learned those from her when we were kids. She would sing them to us going down the stairs at night when we were going to bed, and we'd say, sing it again. And she'd sit on the stairs singing, and we loved it. My father now never sang in Irish, except some hymns that he learned because he was a boy soprano in Tipperary. I spent most of my life in the Gaelic League and Irish American Club in downtown Detroit, and we had Irish lessons there, which I took till I was 13, and then I was, you know, very cool and needed to be out with my friends. But we did step dancing and you know, Gaelic, and it was a great enculturation. It was a very deep well. They were very serious, the board of the Gaelic League. They didn't want it to just be a pub and a place to go to play music, even though the music was very important. They wanted it to be very whole, not for the kids, their kids, to have what they had growing up in Ireland. And also it was the Gaelic League, you know, which was a pretty conservative movement, and they really wanted to adhere to those tenets, which they did. I loved it. I loved that I got to hang out with people of all ages from the time I was a child. So I got the fullness of community. You know, I think a lot of my friends were stuck in high school and junior high school with only kids our age, and I think they missed a lot. You know, and also going to Ireland every summer, because my mother had no family in America. She really missed home. There were no TVs in the houses, in my grandparents' houses. It was about music in my grandmother's house, my father's mother. She was a singer. She played the fiddle. And in my mother's house, it was storytelling. Her father was a Shanachie, and people would come from all over to hear him. And he was mesmerizing. And he made me fall in love with Irish mythology and narrative. I think that's why I became a songwriter. Story. And he died telling a story, which I think is so lovely. My two uncles had their back to him, and he was sitting in his chair, and they heard the cup, he was in the middle of it, and the cup of tea fell. And they heard it shatter, and they turned around, and he was gone. And that's exactly how he would have wanted to go, except he probably would have wanted to finish it, you know? But he was great. And, I mean, he took us to that other world as well. The veil between this world and that world was very thin for him. He was a real believer in signs and omens and the banshee and the fairies, and he loved twilight. He would always take us out at twilight and say, this is the time of the fairies now. We could go to the other world if we wanted to. And we thought that was great, you know. So he was a very magical person in my life, and I love that about the Irish. They have this magical layer, this magical way of thinking about things, which is very poetic and beautiful, and also can lead to denial in older life, as it has for me.
I'm just thinking about your life, you know, in Detroit, in an industrial city, although you've described a very warm community of Irish Americans sharing culture. But then going back to a very simple kind of rural setting in Ireland and back, it must have been very interesting for a child to have that contrasting, contrasting landscapes and communities. Or to you, I suppose, it was all community. It was all
The neighbourhood we lived in, I'm not going to romanticise it. It was hard. It was frightening. And there were a lot of kid gangs. And there were many days that I had to run home from school. And I ran fast. So I was very lucky. But it was a very, very hard place. It was during the trouble. The riots of 1967 happened when I lived in Detroit. And I wrote a song about that when Detroit was burning. It was a very frightening time. And we didn't live in a safe neighborhood. I mean, my father and mother, my mother taught herself how to type to get a job, taught herself how to drive, and they took us out of there when we were 12. It wasn't idyllic in any sense of the word, and I think that's why the Gaelic League was so important, because it was a safe place, and it was a place of music and love and community. And Ireland then was this refuge, because we never had to be home. The summers were long, and you could run the fields all night. There was no fear there, except if you went into the field with the bull. There was also a mad rooster, and you didn't want to fall in a bog hole. But those things were kind of easy to negotiate, you know. Detroit was hard. I have to say I love Detroit, very, very proud of it. But it was a hard city to grow up in as a child.
I was thinking how Liz Carroll, the wonderful Irish-American fiddler from Chicago, who is another first-generation Irish lady, Irish-American lady, and she said that as a first-generation practitioner of Irish arts, there was this incredible pressure to just be as good as you could possibly be and not stray at all, make sure you got everything absolutely right. Did that affect you when you wanted to sing in Irish, worrying whether you would get it just right because you had an American...
I still worry about that. I wouldn't have sung in Irish at all, and I still wouldn't sing in Irish if it wasn't for Bridget Fitzgerald, who I sang with in the early days of Cherish the Ladies. She's the one who said, these songs have to be sung, Kathy, and they can't be translated, and you have to sing them. And you're not a native speaker, but you have a bit of Irish, go for it. Like, don't sit on them. But as far as the being straight-jacketed by being Irish-American, I can totally understand that. And it was Joe Heaney who broke me of that. I was blessed to spend loads of time with him when he would come home to Brooklyn or to come back to his apartment in Brooklyn from Washington. And I remember I just was so mad about Seanlo singing and wasn't being accepted in Ireland because I wasn't native and I didn't have the blas and whatever. And he said, why is that important to you? Sing what's in you. You have American music in you. You have Irish music in you. And I was 18 when he said that to me, and I realized, you know, he's absolutely right. And he was a very generous man with a song. Like, he wasn't a bit stingy. If you asked him for a song, he'd give it to you with a heart and a half, because he was a storehouse of song. You know, he's a real source singer, like Len Graham is, who's here in the room. And, you know, it's just, we're so lucky to have people who've collected songs all their life and people who learn song quickly, so they don't have to spend loads of time like the rest of us learning them meticulously, you know?
Do you have a song that Joe Heaney taught you that is one that you treasure and associate with him?
Actually, the song of his that I really fell in love with and that meant a lot to my son is one that I sang with Cherish the Ladies, and I haven't actually sang it in years and years and years. My own native land. I'll give it a whirl here. There's a dear little isle in the western ocean. It's an island of purity, holy and grand. Its name fills its daughters and sons with emotion when they are outdone a far distant strand. 'Tis Ireland, my country, the birthplace of heroes, the home of the patriot, warrior and sage, of bards and of chieftains whose names live in story. May they live forever on history's page.
Gosh. We're with Kathy Ryan at Traditional Song Week at the Swannanoa Gathering here in North Carolina, and which is an area steeped in song, and Kathy's sharing songs from her own story. You've mentioned a couple of times Cherish the Ladies, so you've talked about some of the key people in your life, you know, Bridget Fitzgerald and also Joheny, of course, and I'm thinking Joni Madden might have been another, in a sense, getting you involved.
Absolutely.
In the band. And
she called me on the phone and she said, can Eileen Ivers and I come over? Eileen lived up the road from me. I lived in the Bronx at the time. And I said, yeah. And I hadn't sang Irish now for a while. I had gone back to college. I was divorced. I was raising my son. And I was really had my head down and working, you know. And I was thinking, no, I can't be doing music now. I have to get a degree. And they landed at the kitchen table and we're drinking a cup of tea. And she says, Dahl, remember that barbecue you were at the VC's house? Like, I just kept thinking about you since then. And you know, I mean, she's so funny. She's like, you want to try singing with us? And I said, God, I would love that. I would love that. So I went out and I did the gig. Bridget was there, and myself, Eileen, and Joni were jumping up and down in the bathroom afterwards. I think I sang My Own Native Land, actually, because it's a great sort of Irish-American story in it. And that was it. I was with them for 8 years after that. So she was really huge in sort of helping me get out on the road. And they were great, all women, so I could bring my son with me, which was terrific, which he did that until he was 12, and then he didn't want to do it anymore. I don't know why, being with a bunch of women in a van. And then when I left Cherish, Tommy Makem was huge in my music, because he called me on the phone and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to get work, but every time I call a festival, they said, we're going to get a real Irish singer. This is the truth. And he said, well, I really would like you to sing in my Christmas special. And that was it. I did his Christmas special, and he came to my first concert with Mary, his wife, and just kind of, I don't know, it was like a huge hug. You know, you're doing the right thing, girl. Go for it.
So that rejection, was that from American festival organizers?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Thanks a lot. You know, thanks a lot. But it's okay, because I'm a mule when I really want something. And I just kept going at it, you know.
And your time with Cherish was also a time where songwriting blossomed for you.
Yes.
And you yourself, you talked about being attracted to songs, and in fact your dad even schooling you through songs that helped explain to you the Irish-American story and saga. And you were then moved to write one yourself that told mm-hmm. that sort of story. I suppose you were seeing around you, rather than the more historical trail, it was more in the present time what was going on with young Irish people leaving Ireland at a time when, you know, the economy was poor, and coming over kind of under the radar into mm-hmm. cities like New York to try and find work and struggling with it.
It was a very different story. My parents were welcomed into America. They came at a time when, you know, they were wanted and the economy was good and they could get work, and they both became citizens, and they're very happy to be American citizens. But they're also very Irish, my parents. They're lunatic Irish, the two of them. And I was living in a community of, you know, people who had just come over, and they couldn't get their visas. And I remember there was a girl at the laundromat, Yvonne, who had her bachelor's degree, and she was working in a laundromat. And another girl who would come in to see her one day a week, she was allowed off. She was a live-in housekeeper. And she had no life. She also had a bachelor's degree. And I just loved the two of them. We would sit there and drink tea. I always made sure I did my laundry when they were both there. And one day, this man in a suit came in the door, and they ran out the back door. And I realized, oh, my God, they could be, you know, shipped out tomorrow. And I started writing the song after that. It's a song that people are requesting again, because it's happening all over again for the Irish, you know. And I mean, they are trying to reform immigration laws, but it really needs a lot of attention.
It became the title track of a Cherish the Ladies album.
Thank you, Joni. I sang it to Joni in the car on the way somewhere, and she said, well, let's record that. We'll call the album that. And that was it. I can do the chorus, because it's a long song.
Verse and chorus?
Yeah, verse and chorus. I know I'm lonely in this country. This is the second verse, but I'll go for it. I know I'm lonely in this country. I think I always have been. I knew as a child I'd leave Ireland. The goodbyes were ghosts in the wind. A dream handed down in my family. Uncle Pat and Aunt Han before him. And over the radio to haunt me.
All the songs they sang were of leaving. I didn't see the Statue of Liberty, never heard her welcoming words. I came through the back door silently, unwanted, unseen, and unheard. I don't mind hard work for a living. There's so much I'm able to do. I can't spend my life as a living with nothing to look forward to. I want my own bed, my own kitchen. I want my nights to myself. I don't want to hide underground. It means that I hide from myself. Give me your poor, your tired, and your hungry, the exiles of your teeming shores, words carved deep in stone and in the hearts back at home, but not meant for the living anymore.
Oh, it's been a while. This is like old home week.
Cathy Ryan singing The Back Door. You're with me for a special edition of The Thistle and Shamrock, and my guest this week is Cathy Ryan, who joins us on the campus of Warren Wilson College in North Carolina's beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. Traditional Song Week is held there each year as part of the Swannanoa Gathering, a summer music camp. Keep your front row seat as we hear more from Cathy, including her song Somewhere Along the Road. View a playlist online within a couple of days and check our Listen Again feature, all at our website, thistleradio.com. This is NPR.
The heart comes out closest, next or near it. What's closest to the heart comes out, wished you'll hear it. We have come the weary roads through the weather, in the hollow of a wild, will we be together?
We're with Cathy Ryan at Traditional Song Week at the Swannanoa Gathering. So those years with Cherish the Ladies were obviously very fruitful. It must have been great fun. I remember seeing you at Wolf Trap, I think, with the band at the Irish Festival there, and it was just quite a raucous bunch of gals there enjoying themselves.
It still is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, no wonder they're festival favourites all over the world, and Joni does an amazing job organising.
She's a force of life,
she's
Joni.
A force of nature, absolutely. Yeah. And you're working with them again.
I am. Yeah. After 18 years... Joni asked me if I would sing a couple of shows with her, and we had such a great time. It was like riding a bike. And I love KT. I mean, there's no new musicians in the band, mm-hmm. And I love Mary Coogan. Always love singing with her. Beautiful, beautiful guitar player. And Joni is just so much fun. And then KT, Marilla, and Grania, mm-hmm. great musicians. And my band is fiddle, guitar, and percussion. So to have the accordion and the piano, it's like wings, you know, underneath you. I love it. And the dancers, it's great.
So keep a wee eye out on Cathy's website, and you'll see if she's coming. And I've noticed that you've actually come over to the UK quite a lot. It's lovely when you're, you know, singing, you know, harmony with Corinne Polwart.
She's amazing.
You get back and forth a fair bit and work with John McCusker. And
he's such a great producer, great musician. What does it say? A rising tide raises all boats. I think that if you, you know, work with people who are really talented and just have a deep love and passion for the music, it makes you better. You know, it's inspiring. And being around people like that make me want to write songs and sing better, and they can get to the heart of something so fast, you know, because they're living in it. And then you can get there quicker. It's just lovely.
And what are your priorities now? Or have they shifted over time?
They have. I mean, I find now that as I'm getting older that I like to have more of a home life than I had before, which makes me want to write songs, interestingly enough. And I'm contemplating a move back to Ireland. I lived in Ireland for 9 years, moved back to New York. And I'm thinking I want to go back there because I like the lifestyle and I like all the collaboration I can do, you know, there with other musicians. So for me right now, I'd like to focus on songwriting. I mean, that's kind of where I'm going. I'm probably not singing as much purely traditional a cappella songs as I used to. I've kind of grown away from that more into working with other musicians, which has been lovely. I produced my last record, and I just loved working with everybody. So that's what I'd like to do. I guess I'm not as hungry to play every major festival as I once was. You know, if I don't do Milwaukee this year, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's been a blessing, to be honest with you. So I think that's part of middle age. I think you just calm down and get more settled in the music and less in the career, maybe. At least that's been my path.
It's an interesting this idea of coming home. Of course, you're from Detroit, but you've obviously got these very deep roots and recent roots in Ireland, and I imagine you still have family in Ireland. And you're not alone in that way. Quite a lot of people find that they want to come home, and although many musicians from Ireland, Scotland and other places find that they can make quite a good living away from home, the pull is quite strong. So who might be some of the people that you might have a chance to work with more if you were based in Ireland that our listeners and our audience here would know about?
Well, on the last CD, what got me actually started making a record, I heard a song that I fell in love with by Laura Smith, I'm a Beauty. And I just wanted to record it. And I thought, I'll do a compilation album. I'll throw a couple of new songs on it. And I called Donna Hennessy. And I have always wanted to work with Michelle Mulcahy, the harpist. She is just an incredible musician. She plays the harp, she plays the accordion, she plays the fiddle, she plays the piano, and she's gorgeous and has a PhD. I hate her. I really do. I've always wanted to sing with her because she has an amazing left hand on the harp. And I finally got the chance. So I called Donna and I said, look, I'm going to call Michelle. Do you have these days free? And he said, yeah. And Donna is just a beautiful musician. And he also has a studio, which is terrific. So I went down to Dingle, and myself, Donna, and Michelle spent 3 days together, and we recorded a rake of songs, two of which made it onto this album, and the others are, you know, I'd love to go back down there and work with Donna. Eilish Kennedy and Pauline Scanlon did harmony vocals on the song, and the two of them are magic together. So I'd love to work with them again. Also, I will be living, I hope, again in Louth, and I've never worked with Jerry O'Connor or his son Donal, and I'd love to work with some of the more Louth-based musicians because I never did that. I was always coming back over here to work. So it'd be nice to do that.
Well, you've been quite prolific with your solo album since your sort of Cherished Ladies days. There's Cathy Ryan, the music of What Happens, very well received, and you had The Farthest Wave and Somewhere Along the Road, Through Wind and Rain. You've been busy girl,
yeah.
And now you've brought out, as I say, latterly Through Wind and Rain. And one of the bands, I suppose, that a lot of people here are familiar with from Ireland, it would be Alton, and we've got Dahi Sproul sitting in the audience today. And I noted that you
another genius
up
on the guitar who plays a song. I've got to record one song with Dahi, a Christmas song, and just loved it. And he just came into the studio and I sang it, and he just got this great lilting groove going immediately. So,
and with the Alton connection as well, you recorded a song by Mairead Nuini,
yes,
as well, which really jumped out at me, I must say. I was quite touched by the song, and wonder, just as a wee personal request, if you would sing that for me.
I would love to. She was gracious enough to allow me to translate the verses. And I fell in love with this song when I heard her singing it live. I think she's a great songwriter. I think she has loads more of that to give. I hope so anyway. I hope she keeps writing. This is a song she wrote for her daughter, Manino, or My Child-O. Come walk with me, Manino, along the shores of Tryweel, build castles gold, Manino, of silken sand and shining shell. Be smooth the road, Manino, that lies before you as you grow. Follow your heart,
as you go. Mañino, 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 gaché tu slán, kaki slán. Rise up to your sails, mañino, in your nevoke to go, go, soft on the waves, mañino, of shining sea neath the moon's glow. It's time to sleep, mañino, to nestle in your downy bed, sail into dream, mañino, with the sweet music of dry wind. Mañino, 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 gaché tu slán, kaki slán. May you be safe, mañino, without a care as evening ends, and always mind, mañino, you've left your footprint in dry wind. Mañino, 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 gaché tu slán, kaki slán.
I love that song. Just full of love, that song. I love that you've left your footprint in your home place.
Well, it really touched me when I first heard it, and now people know what I do, because I work myself in my studio making my radio programs. Now people know what I do. I just sit and
I was trying to get your attention. I wanted you to sing in the chorus with me, because you're a great singer.
Well, I just was in my own wee place. But the whole album is like that, from beginning to end. It's been a time of tremendous change in the music industry. I mean, of course, you know, we're spanning, you know, vinyl to CD to downloadable virtual music, and also just running your career as a musician has very much changed from where you would sort of find an agent to book you some gigs, you would show up at the gigs, and now, of course, you're expected to have a digital presence and to service all kinds of requests online. And I'm just really curious on your perspective of how things have changed for you, and whether it's become easier or whether you find it more stressful or what.
Easier in a lot of ways, and more democratic in a lot of ways, because I have more hands-on with, like, this record. I produced it myself, I paid for it myself, and I released it myself, which releases me from the constraints of being tied to a label. And any sort of grievance I might have about, you know, the way things are handled with a label. So it's nice. I can only answer to myself.
And it's got all your pals on it.
Yes. I thought it might be my last record, so I invited everybody to play on it. I wasn't sure. It was a long time coming, that record. But it's also much harder. I find I spend more time online. I have a Facebook musician page. I've done all the things. I said, I'm never going to do Facebook. Oh, no, I don't need. But you do. You have to have a social media presence, and I've got it. Economically, I think Irish music was, there were so many different strata that you could play Irish music on, from the folk club that holds, you know, 60 people, to a 5,000-seat performing arts center, a 20,000, you know, attendee festival. And now and there were all different kinds of levels of group to fill all these, you know, venues and gigs. And now I find that all of the bands are really going for all the same work. you know, which is much more stressful. It's much harder, which is a good thing. I kind of see it as an opportunity, because the economy means there's less work and more people want it. And that means there's more time to collaborate with other people and do really lovely things. So I think it's all a matter of perspective. But I do really like owning my album. It's my music and I own it. Mm-hmm. You know, Shanaki owned my last four albums. And I do like Facebook. I've grown to like that people can immediately respond to something. You know, like Julie was asking the group before we started today, please give me your feedback, it will help me. And it's the same for me. I know what songs that I'm doing that people really like. So before I make the next record, I'll know what people really want to hear. So I'm probably wandering here in this answer, but I think it's both. It's a happier time and it is a far more stressful time.
Right. That's how I feel about radio work as well, actually. So it's interesting. So from a performance angle, you know, things have become more complicated. You find that the digital side of life opens things up and you can reach people more, but then there's more demands on you to do these things. And I mean, do you ever find that you use it as a tool? Do you ever use Facebook actively rather than just putting information up, but actually asking people to assist with different things or give you leads on song ideas spear is the Scots word, but you know, fish for information from,
right.
We've done that a bit, and that's actually quite fun. So people can very much engage with you in that way by offering you stuff that you need, you know.
Absolutely. And I've done it for shows, and my friend here in North Carolina, Beth McGill, has been helpful with that. Like, say, does anyone know a venue in North Carolina we're looking to fill a night, la la la, well, you know, Kentucky's only this far away, Nashville's only this far away, why don't you play here? So yes, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And people are so delighted to be helpful, you know, and it's hard for me to ask for help, but I find that in that forum it's much, much easier because there's so many people. It is a way also, I find, when you do put news out there, that people get the information. It's like being in a small community, but in, you know, the world. The world comes down to a smaller place on Facebook. Also, I love finding out what other people are doing, and I can just go through my news feed real quick and find out. It's great. Who's got a new singer? Who's going to be where? Oh my God, I get to see you at such and such a festival. It's great.
So you can use it quite proactively to, you know, enhance your experience as a musician. And of course, your website is a place where people can find out more about your music, listen to it, and it's a commerce site, which is
absolutely
presumably good too for distribution.
And I have a great guy who did all that in, mm-hmm, Belfast, Robbie McMillan. Yeah. Terrific. Because I don't have that talent to do all that online stuff and put videos up and do this and do that and do the other thing. So I do need these young bucks to do that. They have the time. They're born with the talent.
So the more it becomes available online and the more we kind of engage with that, the more people almost expect to be able to augment their listening experience by seeing nice pictures of you or watching a little video. And one of the things we've been talking about here is as more music becomes available online, available, downloadable, whether it somehow loses its value. But my sense is that may be true of music in general, but when it comes to music that people really, really love and really, really engage with, I think it probably transcends a lot of the perils of the digital age and the disposability of music, where you just download something, I'm fed up listening to that now, off it goes.
There's nothing disposable about traditional music. It's forever. And most of us who love traditional music feel it on a very deep level. So we have a relationship with the song. And we wouldn't just download something and say, oh, forget it. We would want the album. I am somebody who would listen to an album over and over and over again and then come back to it like it's an old friend, you know, a couple years later and listen to it over. And you were talking about that yesterday. You know, I feel like I'm a lifer. And I think people who love this music are like that. They just, the music resonates. It's part of who they are. They need it. I think it's a life raft, personally. It's a way of expressing every emotion, understanding every emotion, human nature. It's a way of connecting with other people in a group or connecting to yourself when you're home alone listening to a great piece of music. So there are so many people like us out there. I don't think that whole digital issue is real for people like us.
Ranorn la gurig shayani mawanin antranta stuck in pujelika kanin yoga. Hathakos, Puklut of Rog, Return of Kapalakos, Carter of Boga. So Alamena, Yanker, Emma Shiloha, Oro Hanina, Hanina Dodger, Zoro Hanina, Smariga Bosu, Oro Hanina, Hanina Dodger, Liar, the Yab is coupled for Bog. Oh, why you Mahan and Kakni Boro, Ramini, Yimakas, Gramini, Viola, Yapurna Kunyaki, Sprati Rosta. Chicklegger is coming in Boga, or a hand in a hand in a dodger, Zora hand in a smarriga bosu, or a hand in a hand in a dodger, liar that yab is cuddled the boy. Maravinshin kolas a gimut lochogit na jir la chayri na gali o bishik shay fipa. So anak shay pakli na bulgin sin bisa. Oro handin na hanin na dodja. Zoro handin na smariga bosu. Oro handin na hanin na dodja. Layar da yaba is kotul bobo. Oro handin na hanin na dodja. Zoro handin na smariga bosu. Oro handin na hanin na dodja. Layar da yaba is kotul bobo.
If you were to suggest to the folks here, once they go away, other music that they might check out if they've not maybe explored a lot of Irish song, traditional or contemporary, who are one or two of the singers or one or two of the classic artists that you might suggest they go listen to?
Well, the band that I listened to like nonstop till my sister actually asked my mother, could she move me out of our room, was Planxty. I just love Planxty, and I can still put them on and listen to them over and over and over again. Like, it seems we divide into two camps, Bothy Band or Planxty, but I loved Planxty, so if you haven't been into them, I'd say go back, because it's timeless what they did, you know, the arrangements. And I love Shanmo singers. I love listening to people like Joe Heaney. And if I've got a room to paint or something to do at home, that's what I put on. I also listen to pop music. I love writers like Leonard Cohen, and I love Bruce Springsteen. You know, I love anyone who has a good story to tell. But the old Shanlo singers, you know, there's some great labels in Ireland, Kearney Ní Cladha, and there's a Connemara label. I can't think of them right now, where you can get some great music. And you can also listen to Irish radio shows. BBC Ulster has some really good streaming online radio programs. And for me, that's the way that I can find new songs. You know, because of people like Fiona, who actually love the music and will sit down and pick out some great stuff that maybe I haven't heard and take me in a different direction and discover some new singers. And RTE as well, you know, Radio na Gaeltacht. They play some English songs, but lots of Irish.
Which you can now listen to on the internet. There's lots of ways to access music internationally now. So it's kind of playtime for us that like to really sample.
I like to listen to radio shows now, which I never did in the past because of my computer. It's always on. So I'm working away and I've got somebody's radio show on and I go, oh my God, she's an amazing singer. I have to get that record. You know,
I've become more like that too, really. Radio is another thing that transcends a lot of these changes and kind of holds its own, and as we navigate the seas of exciting change with digital media.
And if you find a disc jockey like you, like Matt Wetroba, that you admire and whose tastes you resonate with, then they are a go-to person to listen
to. Check them all out. Well, look, Cathy, it's just been way too long since you and I had a chance to chat. Cathy came and visited me in Edinburgh, and we had a really nice encounter in my little office in Edinburgh,
lovely.
And so it's been too long. Cathy has written lots of wonderful songs and sung lots of wonderful songs, and I thought, what can I ask her to sing that would just, I don't know, sum up the idea that we bump into each other along the way and that nice connection that exists even when it's a long time you don't see somebody. And I thought maybe Somewhere Along the Road has a nice kind of...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, would you sing that for us?
Absolutely. Bridget Fitzgerald gave me this song, and it's hard to find songs with healing in them. And this is one of those songs written by Rick Kemp. Thank you, Rick Kemp. And thank you, Fiona. Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me. Beyond these present storms that blow, waiting patiently. No secrets held in an open heart, a spirit that soars over mountains. Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me. Somehow a guiding light always shows the way to those who lose their way by night, searching for the day. A day away from happiness, tomorrow will bring a new sunrise. Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me. Sometimes when winds are still, unexpectedly, perhaps beyond this silent hill, a voice will come to me. Raise your eyes and see my world. Raise your voice and sing out. Somewhere along the road, someone waits for me.
Somewhere Along the Road is a title track of one of Cathy Ryan's albums. Her latest is Through Wind and Rain. And it's just been my great pleasure to encounter her here at Traditional Song Week at the Swannanoa Gathering. I want you all to give a very big thank you to Cathy Ryan.
Thanks, Fiona.
We would have done this anyway, even if we weren't recording it for radio, but we are. And the person who helps me do that every time is Al Pettaway. Look for his great music online too. And I just want to give a nod and a thanks to Julie Glaub-Weems, who organises Traditional Song Week, and a lot of stuff happens in and around and between all those classes. Thanks a lot to Julie, to Doug Orr, who dreamt up the Swannanoa Gathering and has supported it all along the way. Also Jim McGill, who's managed to make 22 years happen. Margaret Kennedy, behind the scenes of the radio programme. Thanks also to public radio stations across the United States who always find a home for this music and have been generous supporters of what I've done through the years with the Thistle and Shamrock. And thanks, above all, to you. Thank you.
Summertime, the sun would shine. We'd lay out in the field, sheltered in the shadow of a tree. We'd write our songs to take along and sing out on the road, and you would always sing this song. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine down warm upon your land. May the rain fall soft upon your face until we meet. May God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Autumn leaves would leave the trees in colors on the ground, swirling patterns beautiful to see. I'd lay my head down on your lap, I would not make a sound, and you would always sing this song to me. May the road rise to meet you, may the wind be at your back, may the sun shine down warm upon your land. May the rain fall soft upon your face until we meet again. May God hold you in the hollow of his hand. In winter days the trees would shiver in the wind, waiting for the warming touch of spring. You'd hold me in the firelight, we'd stare into the flames, and this is what you always used to sing. May the road rise to meet you, may the wind be at your back, may the sun shine down warm upon your land. May the rain fall soft upon your face until we meet again. May God hold you in the hollow. May God hold you in the hollow of his hand.
Find out more about NPR's The Thistle and Shamrock and listen again online at thistleradio.com. Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own, giving all profits from Newman's Own to charity and pursuing the common good for over 30 years. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR Music.